Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth, every Tuesday at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofashon.org at your convenience. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and most grateful for the time that you're taking to be with me. Today, we're delving into our psyches and our guts on the topic of intuition. Here to guide us on this journey is Liz Peterson, intuitive healer and host of VOV's show, Raise the Vibe. Welcome, Liz.
Good morning, Susan. It's so great to be here.
It is so great to have you. I've been looking forward to this.
Me too.
I am a closet woo-woo fanatic.
Sweet.
And I will try anything that is woo-woo and certainly experiment or delve into and research it. So I'm really happy to have you here.
I'm happy to be here.
I'd like to start with your definition of intuition. How do you describe it?
Oh, good question. Well, first I want to say that everyone is intuitive. Everybody has intuition and we're born with it from one degree or another. And as we age, it actually expands and improves and comes more online. The saying, with age comes wisdom, right? And that's really an internal wisdom. It's an internal knowing that we have. You know, when you hear something that you know is just meant for you, or you're going through your email and you've been contemplating something in your life and all of a sudden you have all of these things come into your life that refer to that, or it's just an automatic knowing that you have, knowing that this is okay or not okay, or to do this or to do that. And it goes way beyond our five senses, you know, way beyond even body reading, you know, that we do socially.
Oh, well, it is called the sixth sense.
It is,
I guess.
Yes. You know, from our third eye, which is right between our eyebrows, which is connected to our pineal gland. And that is our inner sight. And our inner sight comes to us with visions. We may hear something. We may just automatically know something, like I was saying. And it also taps into smell and taste and feeling as well.
Oh, so all those things contribute to, all those five senses contribute to your sixth sense, if
yes.
you will.
Yeah, and whatever sense is strongest in you is how it's going to come through. So if you're a very visual person, you may get a lot of visual representation, either outwardly or inwardly, like daydreaming.
Uh-huh.
And then feeling, like empaths are very feely people, right? So they may feel something is going on.
What about when you feel that? When you feel, say, undercurrents in a social situation, what do you do with that? How do you know the difference between your working intuition and either paranoia or anxiety?
Well, I think that those contribute to it, right?
Those contribute to your intuition?
So that's our instinct kicking in, or anxiety or stress around a situation. And those are our inward clues. You know, like a deer is sitting in the field or in the woods and all of a sudden they pop their head up, right? It's this instinct that happens. A couple of weeks ago, I was sitting on my deck and, you know, just laying out in the sun. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I decided to pop my head up. Right. And in front of me in my backyard were three coyotes who were coming out to hunt, you know, for mice. Right. And they were getting into my space. And I think that there are instinctual triggers that go off when people come into our space. So when we're experiencing those things and we're out and about and a situation feels wrong, trust that, you know, that is your inner intuition. That is your instinct kicking in. And they go hand in hand. They work together.
You know, of course, I have a theory about everything, but one of my theories has been that you did mention we all have intuition. And I couldn't agree with that more. And I think it's something that is endemic to the human psyche. And it's something that we used a great deal more in the past, before we became so reliant on technology, and before we started denigrating the value of intuition. What do you have to say about that?
I agree. And it was actually something hundreds of years ago that was taught, right? And I think that that's faded off because we started depending more on science than inner knowing, right? And I think that that's coming back online. It has been for many years now. And people are training in it and people are learning how to use it and tap into that inner source that we have. And I think that's a positive thing for everyone.
Where do you see that happening?
I see that happening mostly in the personal growth industry and metaphysical industry for sure. But a lot of different personal coaches are starting to talk about it too, because CEOs actually have fantastic intuition. I mean, how do they know, you know, they can read a room? They know, you know, when to step forward, when to step back. You know, all these people in higher positions actually do have that inner knowing, that intuition that kicks in. They know how to use it and follow it, and that works for them.
That's interesting, mm-hmm. because we don't necessarily look at those folks as spiritual leaders, if you will, sometimes
right?
as predators or mm-hmm. as people who exploit others.
For sure, it can be used in a negative way. And they very much cannot be conscious of the spiritual side, right? But be tapping into something that they just know. It's just an inner knowing. And they trust it. And that's the key, is to just trust, whether you're conscious or an unconscious being, trusting that intuition can help you succeed in life.
So the ability to trust your intuition, to my mind, comes with a certain amount of self-confidence and self-esteem.
Yes.
There is a lot that goes on in our culture that damages those things.
Yeah, it took me years.
How did you revitalize that?
Practice. Yeah, growing up as a woman, Southern East Coast, right?
Ooh,
in Maryland,
yeah.
on the peninsula. Uh-huh. And then always hearing things like, are you sure? You know, and that causes doubt in somebody, right? So then you're not going to fully trust yourself. You're dependent on your parents. Then later you're dependent on your teachers or depending on other people to lead you the way into your future, right? So you lose that being in touch with yourself and trusting yourself. And I think that really is the key to intuition, is learning how to trust yourself. And I just did that over practice. It's kind of a fake it till you make it kind of a thing, right? To like trust myself and not turn to somebody and go, what do you think? Or do you think that's okay? Or being a serial psychic seeker, right? Where you're going out there, you're like not in trust so much with yourself that you're looking outward, you know, all the time. And then I've worked with a bunch of people that just wanted to empower me and their students. And I try to do that in my own healing business when I'm working with people intuitively and they're asking, it's teaching them, my clients, how to trust their intuition and trust themselves and trust their inner knowing. And it really is a practice. It's, you know, just putting one foot in front of the other.
What is the detail that goes with that? What are the actual mechanics of that, if you will? How do you learn to trust your own voice?
Trial and error. So stepping into a situation and, you know, having that intuitive thought that this is okay or not okay and following that. And you may stumble and fall on your face at first, but eventually you get it, right? It's like having a gut feeling of whether a space is right for you or not, or a person is right for you or not, or paying attention to those red flags or those awesome green flags that nobody really talks about, you know, and trusting that.
What's an awesome green flag?
An awesome green flag would be somebody who is respectful of you, someone who is conscious and confident and is accepting of you, being thoughtful, putting you first, you know, instead of themselves all the time, those sorts of things.
Wow. Those people are hard to come by.
Not so much. It depends on, you know, where you are and what you're attracting in your life for sure. And doing the personal work, you get to see where your internal belief systems are and where you're functioning from. So as you work on those things, then you start attracting people or more in alignment with you.
How do you do that personal work? What are, the mechanics of that?
Oh, diving into our history, diving into our wounding from childhood, diving into our belief systems, diving into our beliefs about ourselves, around our personal freedoms, our personal... Gosh, what do I want to say? Our self-worth, really. It can boil down to self-worth and knowing what our values are. And how do I want to say this? What we'll accept in our life and what we won't accept in our life.
That does require a great deal of internal work and Is meditation one of those techniques that can help with that?
Oh, definitely. Meditation does work. And it makes you self-aware, for sure, and mindful, which is important. And taking that mindfulness from a personal practice, it always spreads out, you know, into other practices in your life with multiple relationships, work, personal, all of the above. Yeah.
So are you saying that when one begins to rebuild the personal self, the self-esteem, the self-confidence, and the trusting of one's own voice, that life starts to improve?
It does. It really does.
Do you have some stories about that? I know you're an intuitive healer.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's different from what we're talking about. How do you use your intuition to heal?
I use my intuition to heal. It's like personal coaching on a spiritual level. So I'll have someone come into my office with an issue and we'll sit down and discuss it for a while. And I tap into my inner knowing and my psychic abilities and kind of follow along with their with what they're doing, what they're saying, what they're experiencing, and kind of coach them a little bit along the way. And then I'll have someone get on the table and do my advanced energy work, which I call a chelation, which is similar to Reiki, right? So I'm following the meridians of the body from the feet all the way to the top of the head and moving into the chakras and the aura as well. And as I'm working with someone and have my hands on, say you, if you were to come into my office, I'm getting intuitive hits constantly, either from what I'm feeling in my body or what I'm seeing in my mind, and relaying those to you while I have you on the table, and then working with those, you know, either if it's in current situation, and we even, it's super fun, go into past life experience as well, especially with, you know, aches and pains in the body or things that have been around that are unexplainable. And you might not know where your stomach issue came from because it came out of nowhere, or you've had it your entire life, right? So it just depends.
So do you have some stories that you could tell us about clients who have come in with physical pain? You can help with physical pain. Tell us a story about one.
Let's see. Gosh, there's so many. I worked with someone who came in with an ankle injury, and I was able to trace that ankle injury all the way back to youth and the work that the person was doing and the life experiences they were having at that point, and really work on the ankle from that perspective. I had someone else who came in
with... Wait, and it healed it?
Yes, he is on his way to healing. It's amazing. It does. It speeds up the healing, because when we're holding on to those past experiences, they block our healing process.
Ah.
And that's the purpose of the energy work, is to move the blocks that are collected in the body over different periods of trauma. And trauma can be anything from something small like a fall to something big like abuse, right?
Wow. So that is ringing to me of Chinese medicine and acupuncture, which sounds to me like it works along the same lines of rechanneling the energy.
It does. I actually say that my energy work is like acupuncture without needles.
Sounds that way.
It is.
That is fascinating. So Lynn Kerrigan, who was here with us before, had a question for you. And
sure.
Before I forget, I want to ask that question. She said, is there a difference between male and female intuition?
No, I don't believe so.
Ah.
Yeah. Inner knowing happens the same for everyone, right? There may be an overlay of experiences, you know, that kind of makes it those subtle differences, right?
Mm-hmm.
But really no difference, because it comes in at the same, right?
It seems like culturally, intuition has been assigned to the feminine, which isn't necessarily considered legit.
Right. Well, it's more energetically feminine. Like the divine feminine is referred to with intuition, love, compassion, understanding, right? And the masculine is very much do, right? The active, right? So I think that's the differentiation that that may be happening there. But as far as how it comes in, it's the same. You know, just like You're seeing the color blue. I'm seeing the color blue. He's seeing the color blue, right? We're getting that information the same, right? And so if we're getting an inner knowing, like all of a sudden we just know something's going to happen. Like I was sitting out on the porch one day, 11 years ago, just enjoying the sunshine. And all of a sudden I get an overwhelming feeling that something terrible is going to happen. And that would come to me the same way it would come to a man the same way. Right.
Uh-huh.
And it's just that all of a sudden inner knowing that happens, that just comes over us. Right.
So what do you do with that?
You take note of it and pay attention. Paying attention is an important part of intuition because we get our signs and symbols in multiple different ways. It's like the universe, God, or whatever you want to apply, you know, the all that is that's functioning in the universe is giving us that information. Right.
So that makes me think about multitasking.
Mm-hmm.
What, if anything, has the practice of multitasking had on our ability to use and listen to our intuition?
I multitask. I think it's great. You know, you're going around and you're doing all your things. And for me, I really step into a meditative state when I'm being busy. And that actually clears my mind to be able to receive information. I don't know if you've had the experience of like working out in the garden or doing yard work or riding your bike or going for a long walk where all of the sudden your mind is clear and you start getting all of these ideas.
Yeah.
That's your intuition.
Ah.
Yes.
Oh, that's good to know.
Uh-huh.
That's really interesting. Yes. So you would put that into the category of multitasking.
Yes.
Okay. So walking and listening to your own voice at the same time.
Right.
I was thinking more along the lines of actual work when I find myself working on one thing and trying to listen to another, I find that I don't do either one very well.
Well, there is that multitasking where they say that we think we're multitasking, but we're really not, right? Because our mind compartmentalizes everything. So we're working over here and then we might get the idea to go over and do this over here. But when we're doing this over here, we've kind of lost track of what we were doing over here. So we think we're multitasking, but in that way, we're really not. Our brain is just skipping from one thing to the next, right? Rapidly.
So it's not doing all of that at once, really.
Exactly.
Really. You are listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. So happy that you're joining me here. And I am with intuitive healer Liz Peterson. We're on the subject of intuition. So where does our intuitive self reside within us? Where is it? Is it in our brains, in our guts, in our heart? Where is it?
Ooh, tricky question. That's a good question, Susan. I don't think anybody's ever asked me this before. I believe our intuition lies actually outside of ourselves. So if you've ever sat in meditation and ever been asked by your teacher to follow your breath, we can do the practice actually right now. So if you want to close your eyes and start focusing on your breath, now you have the inner you that is sensing your breath, that is paying attention to your breath, right? That's your physical self, your mind self. Now take yourself outside and become aware of the awareness that's watching you take the breath as you take the breath. Can you feel that?
I'm not sure.
So when you're taking the breath, who is the person that's watching you take the breath?
Me.
In your mind, right? Can you separate that from the feeling of taking the breath and then the person that's watching the breath?
Sort of, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it feels as though I've sort of left my body. And then, so that's my intuition.
That's your aware self. That's watching what's going on.
That's fascinating. And that's a state that is encouraged in meditation.
Yes.
That observational person. That's where folks say, let the emotions happen, but let them go by like they're a movie.
Yes. Yeah, what by pay attention and watching them. And as I do my intuitive healing work, that is what I'm doing. I'm doing a moving meditation. So I'm working on myself and opening myself at the same time that I would be working on you, Susan. So that allows me to open up that channel to be able to receive the information, because I'm doing that moving meditation and be staying in awareness and constantly watching from not only my inner self, because I'm paying attention to what's going on physically within myself. That's a reflection of you. I'm like a mirror that way. And then I'm also paying attention to what this outward, this awareness that I have is bringing to me as well.
How long have you been doing this?
Gosh, I started my healing path when I was 23, and a roommate of mine told me, he goes, "Hey, have you ever thought about being a massage therapist? Whenever my shoulders are sore from the restaurant, you know, coming home from the restaurant, you always, you know, improve that situation, right?" So I'm like, huh, that would be fun. So I went to massage school, and my teacher also was a polarity therapist and also a shaman. And I ended up not finishing the advanced program in the massage school and ended up going and taking the polarity therapy and the shamanism classes from her. And then when I moved out here, I ended up in a 4-year program for advanced energy work, because I was blessed with a teacher who had been through Barbara Brennan's program, who is not only a scientist, but advanced energy worker as well, and went through her program in my early 30s. So I've been doing it for quite some time.
So you've got credentials.
Yes.
Yeah. And are you making a living doing this?
I am. I have my business right here on Vashon Island, and it's amazing. I have an office right at the house, and I opened it officially into mid-2018, and it's been fantastic. And now that everything's opened up, I've been able to take clients again, which is really nice.
Yeah. And Liz Peterson, if folks wanted to get in touch with you, number one, why would they want to do that? And number two, how would they do that?
Oh, the why, for anything. I work on physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems. My 4-year program was taught to me by a psychotherapist. So we really can dive into childhood wounding and a multitude of things around personal development. So for anything, body pain, spiritual pain, emotional pain, past life pain. I also work with angels and guides on the other side, and have had an occasional loved one pop in during a healing to give a message. So that's also fun. And people can find me at lizshealingtouch.com. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube as well at Raise the Vibe with Liz.
Do you ever get pushback on what you do? And if so, what kind of pushback?
Surprisingly, no. I've been very lucky. I know colleagues that have gotten some pushback, but I haven't. You know, the people that gravitate towards me are very open to the work.
And they've been successful, apparently.
Yes, yes.
What was your most profound client experience? What can you say about it?
Wow. There's so many. I think it's just a beautiful process to see someone come in with an issue and see them develop as we work together and see them unravel the pain, you know, that they experienced or the trauma that they experienced, and come out of a series of sessions on the other side healed or on their way to healing.
How have you ever known a client who began working with you who actually changed their life based on what you helped them discover?
Yes. And I have one person coming to mind, and he would bring me affirmation all the time on how his family is seeing the change, you know, how his work situation is changing, how his outer relationships are changing because he's doing the work. And I think anytime someone chooses to do the inner work, their life is going to change in a profound, powerful way.
How would I know that I need to do that inner work? How would I know that I need to expand or enliven my intuition?
Well, anytime we're searching or going through, wow, that's a really good question, Susan. anytime, well, we can be on a personal growth journey, right? So we're looking inwardly. I know a lot of people during lockdown started to look inwardly,
you know, about that.
Yeah, what needs to change in my life? You know, what do I need to work on? So if you're asking those questions, then that energy work, that personal healing work is a good fit for you.
What would you say if I can't afford to come to you?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it costs, but if I can't afford to come to you, where do I start on my own?
Right. Well, for me, my rates are $120 for an hour and a half. And if you can't afford that, because I don't take insurance, obviously.
Right.
So you could start with meditation. I always recommend meditation. And meditation doesn't have to look like sitting quietly in a room and following your breath, right? It can be taking a walk out in nature. You can be working out in your garden. It's taking that time to become mindful, clear your mind, and start focusing on what you have going on, and that your intuition kicks in while you're doing that, right? So you get those ideas, you get those moments where you might figure out, hey, maybe yoga would be good for me, or maybe a change in diet will pop in, you know, as an idea or something like that. And all of those things are very positive in, you know, changing what you have going on. Anytime you can change something to something positive, it changes something outwardly in your life.
You mentioned diet.
Mm-hmm.
Are there certain foods that that counteract our intuition or our inner strength, if you will?
Yeah, if we're eating McDonald's every day, it's probably not a good thing, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of comment about processed food,
mm-hmm,
and the chemicals they're in. What about, does vegetarian diet aid intuition?
I'm a vegetarian and got the intuition to become a vegetarian. And I had been eating meat my whole life. I'd gone, you know, grown up in a meat and potatoes family, but mm-hmm, then raising my kids, you know, stepping into healthier foods, mm-hmm, and then even doing farm to table at some point. I even had my own chickens and ducks and geese and would prepare the food myself from start to finish.
You killed them.
I did. And that was quite an experience and gave,
yeah,
me a different experience around food. So I think that contributed to why I'm vegetarian. But I think, yeah, it was a process. And I think anybody who steps onto the healing journey will see that it starts with maybe a yoga class or maybe a slight shift in diet, like cutting out red meat and just sticking with white meat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that might gradually go into maybe fixing more vegetarian meals than meat-based meals, right?
Uh-huh.
I think it's a process. I've been on this, gosh, it's been 30 years now that I've been on this, and it really, I can track my life to where, okay, it started with the idea of going to a yoga class, or it started with an idea of going to massage school, or it started with the idea of cutting out red meat, you know, or it started with the idea of I'm not going to hang out with this person because this person is toxic in my life, and choosing a different, you know, person to hang out with. It's all these little changes and shifts that we can make in our own personal life that carry us forward into living a more kind of like high vibe life, as I like to say on my radio show,
uh-huh,
Raise the Vibe, and also my podcast, Raise the Vibe with Liz, right? It's increasing our frequency by changing these subtle things in our lives that aren't toxic anymore, right?
So you've got 1 minute left.
Sure.
Tell us what I'm listening to you, and it sounds like you have achieved the perfect, what we see as the perfect life in this country. And so many of us spend so much time thinking, how can I live the perfect life? What do you do that's not perfect?
Oh my gosh, I trip and fall all the time. That's a human experience, right? Nobody's perfect. I have acted unconsciously here and there throughout my past, right?
Uh-huh,
and that,
uh-huh,
I think that's all part of the process, because you act like that and you're like, oh, I didn't really like the way I acted right there, right? So I want to shift myself and act in a more conscious way. And I think that's part of the personal growth process, right? Is always becoming a better version of yourself. And I'm going to do that until I'm 100. Right? I'm not perfect. I make mistakes, but I learn from my mistakes and I try to shift myself and step into a better version of myself always.
And forgive yourself.
Exactly. Self-forgiveness.
Liz Peterson, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me here on Real Talk.
Thank you, Susan. This has been so much fun. It's been a pleasure spending this time with you. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM. KVSH LP. Thank you for joining me here on Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth, every Tuesday at noon or at your convenience at voiceofashon.org.